Hey there, Ford Alliance, our extended digital family, and in particular, I think of those of you who just in the heaviness and the struggles of the season, just need to play it a little safer than normal and be isolated and might be seeking and searching out Jesus on your own. We welcome you today. We are so glad you're with us, and my prayer is that via this digital means, you might encounter just a fresh sense of the presence and the power of Jesus, and we're hoping that happens today. I want to start off just telling a couple little stories that initially I admit are going to seem completely unrelated, but I'll do my best to kind of weave them together, so just work with me in for a moment. I was raised in the 80s, and so I missed certain historical monumental moments, but there was one in particular in the late 90s that came along culturally that was, for me, a complete opening of my mind to, like, the cinematic universe. It was like there was this new life in my imagination from a movie, and I remember sitting down one day with one of my mentors who's a strong believer and telling him about this experience and the things I was like learning from it. And he right away went into, I've had that happen to me. And I was like, really? I'm not the only one who's had this happen. He goes, I have. It happened at Star Wars. Well, tell me about it. And so he was telling me this cinematic experience of seeing Star Wars in the theaters, which I'm too young to have done, but maybe some of the crew here this morning. Yeah, I got the thumbs up. Have. Nice. Well, I had a different cinematic experience. It wasn't Star Wars. It was with The Matrix. And this movie, when it came out, man, did it ever, like, just blow my mind. In fact, it is the only movie that I have ever gone to multiple times in the movie theater because it just so made my mind, like, go, whoo. And then I was trying to figure out what was happening and why it was happening and all sorts of things. Anyway, within this movie, there's this character, Neo, and Neo is the one, all right? He's the one who is going to save humanity, and he encounters this oracle who knows all things and what have you, and the oracle tells him, though, that he, Neo, is not the one. But then later in the movie, he becomes the one, and my mind was like, what the heck's going on here? Like, I couldn't figure it out for the longest time, so I kept going back to the movie and trying to figure it out. And then there was this line that she says that stood out to me, and I got it. It was, well, maybe in your next life. And all of a sudden, I realized Neo was the one because he had to die and rise again, which is why I was even more, like, mind-blowing in this movie. And it just, came to life for me. Yeah, in that season, I was just in the kind of the beginning days of youth ministry, if you will. And at the end of my first youth ministry position, the youth group that I was leading got me a gift. And it was this Morpheus figurine that to this day I still have, and it sits at my office and home. Now, for those of you like the crew here, because they were already teasing me about this, don't know, Morpheus is the one who would discover and find Neo, who would discover and find the one. And so my youth group in that day, we all did these personality profile tests, like those silly things you do online. And I came out as Morpheus. That was my personality, because I would be the one to find the one and then fight for the one, which probably sounds like, you know, that would land and make sense to you. So they bought me this as I left to go back to Lloydminster and said, remember, Ken, you're going to find the one and fight for the one. And I thought that was a cool moment. But that was like a cinematic moment where my mind was just like brought to life, all right? So I thought I'd share that because it fits in a really weird way with the next thought I want to talk about. Did any of you, maybe even here, possibly you online, come to faith in Jesus as an adult? We got one. Awesome. It's actually pretty rare in that, two, right? You did two, Linda, didn't you? The most common time that people come to Jesus is between age 4 and 14, which is why like working with kids and youth is so, so important. But I love it when an adult comes to faith in Jesus, because there's like this moment where their spirit and soul are like brought to life and they're like, whoa. They realize like the enormity of what had happened. I had a good friend in Lloydminster who came to faith as an adult, and he could not stop talking about Jesus. I mean, everywhere he went, he wanted to communicate to people who Jesus was and what he meant to him. And so I was in a bit of a discipleship group, if you'd say, where we were working through scriptures and what have you. And he came to me in the middle of one of those and said, you know what? I've been trying to tell my martial arts group about Jesus. I need you to come. I'm like, you need me to come to your martial arts? Yeah, yeah. He's like, yeah, I need my pastor to come to my martial arts group to tell my my friends there about Jesus. Will you come? Just once. So I'm like, all right, okay, you know, I'll take one for the home team. This was actually, for me, kind of the introduction to my love of martial arts and getting involved with it more and more. But he was just so excited, and I love that. When you see that that excitement, that soul, that spirit, if you will, come alive when someone as an adult comes to Jesus and they know that they had completely walked in a way that was different from God's, right? They had followed their flesh. They had turned to their evil, their addictive ways. They were a sinner through and through, but then Jesus offers his life for them, right? And they come back and they are now walking with God. They've said, Jesus, I'm sorry. Jesus, forgive me. No, Jesus, take my life. It's yours. I love the excitement of those kinds of moments. How do these things fit together? Here's where I'm going. That moment when my mind went over a cinematic experience, like where my imagination just came to life, or where an adult is at that place where they come to faith in Jesus, where their soul, their spirit comes to life, it's almost like an awakening-like moment. Your mind just goes, poof. And in my opinion, the church in Canada, or maybe not, I shouldn't blanket it as the church, but much or most of the church, and I would say in our church as well, we need that awakening-like moment where our imagination comes to life, where our soul, our spirit comes to life over the presence, the person of Jesus, so much so that it overflows just from who we are into all the areas of our life. And thus, we continue in this series and pray. Which brings us to Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Now, Matthew 6, verse 10 is a part of the Lord's Prayer that's going to be very familiar to you. It goes like this. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so as we consider that part of the Lord's Prayer, I thought, let's just go at it backwards for today. So the start of this conversation, I want us to consider heaven. And so if we're praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as is in heaven, the natural question then is, what is it like in heaven? Or how is it in heaven? Maybe I'll throw that out here to you guys. When I say the word heaven, what's like the first maybe thought or word that comes to your mind? Love, peace, perfection, acceptance, joy. I mean, yeah, those are great thoughts. Maybe you have some as you watch too. A couple of the ones that came to my mind were strikingly similar, where Jesus was the first word, peace. The reality that we are there to praise, to live within the light. Pastor Dan just spoke a series here in light of there. Gets us thinking like that. So then the next thought was earth. And as I prep for these messages, I often read a number of translations. And one of them I usually check out is the Message translation of the scripture. And this particular verse or this particular line in this prayer is worded like this. It says this, set the world right. Do what's best, as above, so below. Which then kind of led me into the thinking of, okay, set the world right, so what's wrong with the world? And maybe you don't like the negative implications of that question, so maybe I'll throw it out there like this. What comes to your mind when you think of the world today? Checking with you guys here. What comes to your mind when you think of the world today? Anger? Chaos?
Complicated?
Yeah. Lack of love. Mm-hmm. Three words right along those lines that came to me were division, polarization. I'm willing to even go so far as to say hate. And so as I considered that, and I think of the Lord's Prayer, on earth as in heaven, I immediately realized there's this very real tension in this prayer or in this verse. A tension that would suggest to us that we are in the midst of a battle. In fact, almost every scholar or commentary that I've read in preparation for this series on prayer has in some form or another said the Lord's Prayer is a spiritual warfare prayer. We realize we're in the midst of a battle. And so I asked the question about heaven and on earth, and although this doesn't come from the verse, the tension exists within it. Let me ask one more question. What comes to your mind when you think of a battle or you think of war? Loss of life. Conflict.
Pain.
Yeah, totally.
Disagreement.
Yeah, I thought violence, death, evil. Like, we're all kind of thinking the same way. It makes me curious how many of you watching online might think the same of those three questions. And so, as I was considering that and prepping for today, something that I came across in my reading and in my prep really stood out to me. And I want to share it with you because I think it serves as a great segue to get us where we need to get today. And the segue is this. What if I told you that how we think of and described heaven hasn't always been the case? I'm going to take you to Revelation chapter 12. In Revelation chapter 12, I'm going to read 7 to 12, and I'm going to purposely emphasize a couple lines on purpose, but I think you'll catch what I'm throwing down here. Revelation 12, 7 to 12. Then there was war in heaven. War in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. And the dragon lost the battle, and his angels were forced out of heaven. This great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, check this out, this is important, it's going to come up again, was thrown down to earth with all his angels. Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, "It has come at last, salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser," another name for Satan, the dragon, "the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been," here it is again, "thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night. And they have," this is important for us this morning, "and they have defeated him by the blood the Lamb and by their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who live in the heavens, rejoice. But terror will come on the earth and the sea, for the devil," here it is again, "comes down to you in great anger, knowing that he has little time." We describe heaven the way we did, and understandably so, because I did the same thing when I did that activity But isn't it significant or maybe important for us to note that there has also been a war that has taken place in heaven? Interesting. And that the accuser has been thrown to the earth. Jesus himself, and throughout scriptures actually in the New Testament, we see Satan referred to even as the prince of the earth. But Jesus, while he was here, overcame. He overcame because of the blood of the Lamb that was shed. So the Lord's Prayer, it reminds us that we're in a battle. And the Lord's Prayer's result is a spiritual warfare cry. So let's go back to the whole statement again. Thy kingdom come. It's a battle cry. Thy kingdom come. Here we are. Thy will be done. This is a divine agenda on earth as it is in heaven. David Chacka, who I've mentioned along the way in this series, and I'll continue to mention because I love his book, Power Praying. He says it like this in regards to this prayer, and particularly in regards to this line, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He says this, this is no prayer to pray if we want to stay the same. If I may, I'd like to be so bold as to add, this is no prayer to pray if we simply want to get back to the way it used to be. The Lord's Prayer is a spiritual warfare prayer. The Lord's Prayer is a prayer that we come into alignment with a kingdom agenda on earth as it is in heaven. One scholar that I was reading wrote this. He said in regards to this line in particular, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, this is very comprehensive in its scope. It takes in all of the relationships of life, domestic, community, national, and international, economic, and religious, and social, as well as one's own personal thoughts and words and deeds. And then as a result, he says this, there is no greater prayer that anyone can pray than the Lord's Prayer. Four lines. I talked to us last week and said, let us pray, let us stack the wood. We need to be stacking the wood via prayer as a means to see ourselves, our fellowship, and hopefully even our community prepared for when the fire of God does fall and the Spirit does move, that it can take because we've done our part in prayer. As we pray, and as we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're actually coming into alignment with a kingdom agenda. And the kingdom agenda is a battle cry. A battle cry where we acknowledge that, you know, we need, again, a fresh awakening unto the presence and the power of Jesus. That we might live out what it means to be a part of thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So again, this season is a season where I want to encourage us to pray. Charles Bridges is a pastor from many, many years ago now. Very well noted for his work in pastoral ministry and some of his studies on Scripture. In regards to prayer, he said this, and I think this lands just perfectly for today. Prayer is one half of our ministry. And it gives the other half all of its power and success. AKA, stack the wood. Prayer is one half of our ministry, and it gives the other half all of its power and success. Last week, I asked you, in fact, I begged you, and I really bragged at the in-person service. Let me tell you, it's not above me, okay? To join me in a 7:14 challenge where we set our alarms and we pray every day and we confess our weakness and our evil ways and our sins, and we ask God to heal our land. Or like today, we come into alignment with a kingdom agenda and say, God, thy will be done in Fort Saskatchewan as it is in heaven. And as we pray, we're seeking to get into that presence of Jesus, where we can experience just the overflow of him in our day-by-day life. And ultimately, we know we can pray with a boldness and a confidence. We can enter into this battle cry. We can come into alignment with this kingdom agenda because Jesus has overcome the world and defeated the enemy. The war has already been won because the precious blood of the Lamb has been shed. And just as we need a fresh awakening, a fresh encounter with the power and the presence of God, perhaps there's no greater time or greater way to do that than to simply come and consider the cross. And so even now, I'm going to have you take these next couple minutes to just watch this and consider the cross.
Love, Dinesh, Hannah,